Now, and one of Ireland's leading climate change experts has warned Clare councillors that 10% of homes here are at risk of flooding. Professor John Sweeney of NUI Maynooth has said that Clare properties are more likely to be at risk of flooding than anywhere else in the country. His remarks came in a presentation to Clare County Council this week in which he cited research by local intelligence solutions company Gamma. Afterwards, I spoke with Professor Sweeney, who outlined that point once more and explained it in a bit more detail.
Clare, together with Louth, are the two most exposed counties to flooding in Ireland. With a winter like we've just had, with westerly winds and continuous storms, of course the water vapour from the Atlantic really gets into Clare and really can cause the kind of flooding problems that we've seen around, especially the Shannon over the past month or two. I think what Clare can do here is firstly it can build up its adaptation programme, and Clare County Council has developed a good adaptation programme, but it needs to play its part in the national effort as well. And, of course, adaptation is fine, but mitigation is also important.
And what can be done on that front?
Well, I think we have to look at the way in which, for example, our councillors get to work, our people get to work. We have to look at the way in which energy is consumed in the county. We have to look at schemes to encourage householders to retrofit their houses. We have to encourage more sustainable transport. So all of that will help to reduce the emissions really from Clare. Now, why that's important is that if Clare does have a big problem in the years ahead, let's say it gets the really bad winter, even worse than this, and it has to go looking for assistance from Europe, it's very important at that stage that Clare can say, look, we tried our best. But if Clare goes along to the European Commission and says, well, look, we haven't done anything about mitigation, but we still want to get a few hundred million out of you, the answer might be less positive. Positive in those circumstances. So just as with the rest of the country, we all have to play our part in tackling this problem. We're all very concerned about coronavirus at the moment, but let's remember more people will die this year from the direct and indirect effects of climate change by a multiple more than coronavirus. So it's a problem we all have to play our part in tackling.
And that brings me on to two points that come to mind. Number one, Clare County Council can only do so much.
Yeah.
It has considerable means, but limited means in a national context. Does it not need more from central government, firstly?
I think Clare County Council deserves more from central government in the fact that it is one of the more exposed counties. So there is a climate action plan which has a climate action fund associated with it. And those projects, I think they have to be over €1 million for people to apply. There are many projects, I think, which Clare County Council could justifiably apply for in terms of protecting towns and cities from flooding, in terms of encouraging retrofitting, for example, of social housing in the towns of Clare, in terms of encouraging renewable energy schemes and community energy. Those are a lot of areas where a good project could get the funds, but I think you're right. I think we have to look for more in terms of support from central government, because there's a tendency for central government to pass the problem down to local authorities and then not to give them the money to do the things.
And
should.
Is the political will there to, maybe you've half answered this question, is the political will there to address this? I interviewed Aineen Ilana yesterday at an event here in Ennis. You're much more measured than she is in this regard. She would be scathing of politicians based on my experience of speaking with her.
Yes, and you know, Aina certainly shoots from the hip, and I love her for that reason. It's true that politicians have traditionally seen this problem as something to be put on the long finger, and they haven't grasped the nettle. However, I think what we're now seeing is pressure coming from our young people, especially pressure coming from the young people who are out on a Friday outside their schools. And politicians are now beginning to realise they will be voting in a few years' time. We have to do something. And politicians really, I think, will change when they're squeezed from below, from the electorate, and when they're squeezed from above, from international bodies like the EU Commission. And I think that's beginning to have an effect. I think it's slow and it's not as quick as I would like it to see. But I think we are seeing a sea change in attitudes taking place.
And yet I can compare that and contrast it with the public response to the coronavirus that you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, and I see texts coming into my programme, people demanding action. They wanted the Patrick's Day parades to be called off, they now are. that same level of demanding doesn't come on this issue, despite the seriousness of it.
Yeah, and the problem there, of course, is the same problem that arose at the general election, where if you ask at the doorsteps what your problems are of a constituent, they will stress the next week or the next month getting through the short-term issues of housing or health. They will not really bring up, the way they might, the longer strategic-term issues of climate change, of what their children are going to do, what legacy we leave behind for them. That is a very slow process, but I think that's changing also.
I just wanted to finish by asking you then, with all that in mind, the forecasts for the future, if no action is taken, are very stark. But at the same time, there is a growing public consciousness, as you say, on this particular matter. What is your prediction for the future? We know what the worst case scenario is. Can we really make a difference and improve that?
And at an international scale, I'm a wee bit more pessimistic than I was 3 or 4 years ago. And that's because what was generally a multilateral world has now become very much a national self-interest world. And we've seen that in the United States. We've seen it in some of the European community countries. We're seeing it in places like Brazil, where it's look after myself and let's not worry about the rest of the world. And that really bodes badly for getting our act together internationally. I attended the Madrid COPs meeting in December, and I came away very much more despondent than I had from any of the previous 5 or 6 I was at, with the feeling that we haven't made progress in 20 years.
So does that mean, even with all of the goodwill and all the best of intent and good actions in this county and country, there's only so much Ireland and Clare can do?
Well, it's true. We need leadership very badly, both internationally and nationally as well. But I don't think anything that's happening on the international stage should stop us from playing our part as a responsible international citizen. You know, if you say to yourself, well, my bus ticket doesn't make any difference if I throw it on the street, that's what you're really doing if you wash your hands of it at a local level. But I think it's important to realise that we have international responsibilities, that we should be thinking about the future, especially for those that come after us.
Professor John Sweeney there of NUI Manuka.